Welcome to my little space in the world, the Sabia Wave podcast. But I'm super excited to have you. We already have gotten into many things, just kind of pre-show talking about books and life and deep spaces we have to get into, right? But I want to say that I am just really happy to talk to you and so happy that we like clicked too. Cause you know, sometimes it's kind of awkward. You're like, just gonna get the shit over with. I'm glad that we already have built a rapport, but would you like to introduce yourself and who you are today and how you're feeling today?
Sure. My name is Alua Arthur and I am the founder of Going With Grace, which is an end of life planning, training and support organization. Today I'm feeling, I feel joy. At the same time, I feel like human difficulty, just the challenges of navigating humanness and relationship and love and health. That's how I'm feeling today.
Yeah, that health part, man, it really takes me for a doozy. So yeah, appreciating that and appreciating you being here while holding all of that. So the one thing that I wanted to kind of, I'll start with tragedy first and then we'll like move into like better spaces.
Okay.
Because I wanted to talk about like how I found your work.
Okay.
So we were talking about book writing, right? Yes. Just like a minute ago, because we're both in that process. And it's definitely been like a 2-year process for me. I moved here to Atlanta in 2020 and I kind of started forming my idea around my book around that time. So nonetheless, COVID hit, like as soon as I got here, like I got here February 2020, March shut down, right? And I was like, damn, like I was here to like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna come to Atlanta to live. You get what I'm saying? And I was living in San Diego for 3 years prior to that. So I moved here also being very much like, I want to see more Black people. Like, hello. Did that. Shutdown happened, which is fine. I'm an introvert. It's fine. In the process of that, like the first couple months, like I can't even like think of the time frame right now, but long story less long, in 2 weeks I lost my maternal grandfather, my paternal grandfather, my uncle, and my friend who's a doula, all to COVID in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Right? It was just like boom, 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 right? Like that kind of thing. And so I was like, well, this is horrible. It's a tragedy. And at the same time, kind of how we were talking about, but there were still other things going on, right? There was like, my businesses were like blowing up and in a good way. And like things were happening that were actually really great. Those things had happened and it was obviously tragic. And it was like all these different things happening in my life. Some were good, some were not so good. And it was like a lot to hold. My origin is as a full spectrum doula, but definitely focusing heavily on birth, right? So there's obviously, at least in my brain, this just like similarity around birth and death in a space like that is being held when people are transitioning either into this space or out of it, so to speak. In that process of like experiencing so much trauma and so much death in such a short period of time, I was like, okay, I need to, for myself, bridge some type of gap. And for myself, like really become more comfortable with death. Like that was really the way my brain interpreted it. And so I was like, okay, I want to do that. And obviously I'm a full spectrum doula. So I'm like, I know like there's resources and that there's like deaf doulas and that there's these things, but I was like, where do I want to learn? Like, that's really like, where do I want to learn? And so long story less long, I found Going With Grace. So I signed up for the self-paced course because, you know, doing 1,000 things, would love to be in community, but also not at the same time at that point. Because I was like, I don't know how much my own shit is going to come up. And I don't know if I want to be like in community right now,
honey,
in the process.
Yeah,
I'm a solo kind of person. Let me do this by myself and then like, and then come out of it, you know, like going through your training and still like, still looking at videos and interviews and all that now has been really instrumental and just helped me to bridge a gap that was present for me, like breaking down a wall that was there around these two kind of life experiences in the ways that I've never been fearful of my own death. Never been a thing. I'm like, I go, you know, I don't know what day, don't know like what time. It's all good. Like hopefully it's, you know, great timing for everyone else, but like
it'll never be. It'd be terrible, yeah, like, timing for everybody.
But you know, like I guess experiencing so much so soon in the midst of like what was a collective trauma and still is, just like shifted something for me. So I just want to thank you for creating that space and creating that resource and that community, and doing it in a way that's like not too, at least for me, it's not too woo-woo. I'm here for the woo. Like, I'm a person, like my personality type is like, give me some information.
Yeah.
Give me feelings. Give me emotion. Give me like information. Give me something to do. Give me something to read. Like, right. And like, as like things happen, like in my book, I talk about like my fourth generation. So I have been blessed enough to like know my great-great-grandmother. My great-grandmother is still alive, my grandma, my mom, and me. And my great-grandmother, my Nana, you know, she's like in that liminal space, right? Yeah. Where like, you know, we don't know when what's gonna happen when, you know, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, even in, I just find myself so much more pulled in instead of trying to be like, you know, like brace for like what's gonna happen. I'm like, no, let's, I was talking about death with her the other day, you know, I was like, so when you die, she was like, yeah, like I come here for nothing. Like I'm trying to make it to heaven, you know? And I'm like, go ahead, girl, do your thing.
Get it.
Right. But I think just like being in the Going with Grace community, learning from you, learning from the other speakers, and even being in a Facebook group too, because I'm in there, has just been really helpful. So just really wanted to just say like, you're amazing. I really love the work that you're doing. And it's really just like impacted me personally.
Wow.
And yeah, I'm like all in it. Like I also am cool with the folks that over at A Secret Passing.
Yes.
And we talk about you as well, things that they're doing over there. Listen, it's a whole thing. But anyway, I don't want to be that person that like, it's like, how did you get here? Because I think there's enough information about like how you gotten here.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for you is, with the impact that you have made and the things that you have created with Going with Grace and, you know, other aspects of your life, like where are you headed next? Where do you want to go?
Here? What a big question. Let's see. Well, you know, as we've been talking about the book and book writing and books overall, I'm really eager to get the book done. Because once my book is done, I mean, written and at least the words are set and it's about to go out there into the world, I think it's going to start opening up space or whatever might be next to emerge. And I have no idea. But I'm going to be frank with you. When I first saw the vision for what Going with Grace could be, I have like a big, 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 big picture vision of what it could be. And we're not there yet. But in the finite, the things that I could actually like tangibly be like, okay, this can happen. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We exceeded that like 5 years ago. And so at this point, I'm just in the passenger seatbelt on being like, let's look up next. So I have no idea. My hope is that, well, obviously I have no idea, but I also don't really have a sense of what direction we're moving in. About the time that I just decided to sit in the passenger seat, I recognized that it has to extend into all aspects of the work. I mean, my life overall, but certainly about the work, because, you know, I didn't get into this for myself. I got into this because I thought that it was important to do. And also because I saw the tremendous value being close to death created in my own life. So I was like, well, absolutely, if it's possible for me, then what could be possible for other people as well? But, you know, this work comes through me. It's not about me. It's not for me. It just comes through. Like it comes through many other folk. And I feel grateful that the way that it comes through me seems to be connecting with people. And so I'm like, let's just keep watching the ways in which it wants to come through and saying yes when those things come up.
That's really interesting. Like, I really appreciate you saying like that piece around sitting in the passenger seat. One, that's just a big statement, because anytime I see other Black women or Black people, I'm like, oh, you're sitting in the passenger seat. I know that is like a conscious, it's a very conscious effort. And I, you know, that's the other thing that kind of speaks to me in regards to the work that you are doing and what's like coming through you, is that like death requires a passenger seat kind of perspective, right? Like you can't really like, you can try to hold on to it. Yeah, you can try to drive, but like, it's just going to make it more painful on the exit, right? How have you learned to be in that space of like, how did you get to that passenger seat? Like what practices keeps you there?
Death, truly. The practice of being with death. Because as you said, it requires a complete surrender at all times, you know, unless, of course, I choose the date, time and manner of my death. The rest of it is an unknown. It's an entire mystery, which means that I have to stay a student of the mystery. And the same thing is happening with work. There was a period of time where, I mean, let me put it this way. There are certain things that I can control. I can say, let's move in this direction. Let's change the course, which we're going to give the course a revamp this year to roll it out next year. There are certain things like that I can control. But how the message is landing and where the message wants to go based on where it lands is totally out of my control. And I tried for a while to be on top of that. I never tried to push it anywhere. You know, I just sat back and watched as opportunities came. And as opportunities came, I just kept aligning myself with the mission and the vision to see if the opportunities that were coming were also aligned. And when they were, I said yes. When they weren't, I said no. And when they are, that's when I have to sit in the passenger seat, because at that point, it's not up to me anymore. If everything click, click, click into place, okay, honey, let's just see where this is going to go. And it's going to some pretty interesting places that are shocking me.
Wait, can you name some of them? What's shocking you?
I was watching a trailer for this Netflix docuseries called The Future of ... I think that's what it's called. And saw my face in it. And I was like, wait a minute. But then I thought about it. And I do remember sitting in a room someplace in Los Angeles with cameras and some lights. So I did do it. You know, it's like that. I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, no, something's happening. I was watching this by accident. And then I saw my own face. And I was like, what's going on here?
Yes, I've had moments like that where you're like, what?
That's me. What am I doing there?
Exactly.
How did I get there?
How, right? How, literally. And it's like, it's also like, I think, at least for me, when I have those moments, it's like, I really have gotten there doing something I really love.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's the part that shocks me. Like, I think, I don't know, when I was in like corporate America doing things I didn't really enjoy, but let's say I would get like an award or a thing or whatever, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, whatever. But now I'm like, oh, I do the things that I love. Oh, wow.
Well, to me, it's the easiest way. It's the most surefire way, you know, with a path of least resistance. When I'm in the path of least resistance in my own body and in my spirit, about the things that feel good to me, the things I want to talk about, the way that I want to express them, the way I want to express myself overall, then things are naturally going to align. They must, they will, according to universal law. You know, when I'm out of alignment, when I'm resisting parts of myself in order to do something, is where things don't align. That's what happened when I was practicing law. Like, I was trying my hardest to make all of this fit into that role, and it was not working, and I was not listening. I kept trying to push it through and make it work and make it work. And it, I mean, I would even change my nail polish color. You know, I put my hair back, take out half my jewelry to go to court. What are you talking about, Ayla? This is how you like to express yourself. Do it full all the time.
Yes, do it full. Do you think because of your, I mean, your relationship to death and working in that space? And, but one, wait, let me back up. Can you tell us about the book?
Yeah.
We got to do that. You mentioned it. We got to know a little bit more. You got to give it all to us. But can you give us a little bit more?
Sure. So the book is mostly my journey into death work and then client stories. So it's in kind of flashback, flash forward. We talk about currently what's going on with my clients, what I learned about death and dying, what I learned about life and living from the people that are dying that I got the incredible honor of sitting next to, and then about how we got here thus far. And then obviously there's a lot of talking about death and dying because I can't help myself. Just curiosities and questions.
For sure. And where do you feel like, I mean, even in the process of you, like, I know you said like the book has been like a 2-year kind of like process so far. And like in the process of me writing my book, it's been about 2 years. Where the world was 2 years ago to where it is now is like different. So sometimes it's hard to kind of write because I'm like, wait, it was like this, right? I was coming from this space, but now it's kind of here. But do you see any difference in just like conversations around death and dying from the beginning of the book process to now? And like, how is that impacting? Is it making it more difficult to write the book to kind of move along with these different ways?
What I've noticed, at least in myself, that a lot of the pathways remain the same. You know, I think they are just my fundamental values and beliefs around how we live and how we die. And those aren't really shaken by world events necessarily. Other things are maybe the ways in which I express the importance of justice and death work and how I came to it. I think that was an assumption I made for a long time, or just like an underlying value that wasn't made explicit until it needed to be. And then when it was made explicit, then people were like, oh, really? And I said, well, yeah, what else do you think was going on here? I'm a Black woman. Like, I'm a Black Black as fuck. Like, of course I'm thinking about this all the time. It may not be what I was leading with when I was talking about death and dying before, but it's always on, not even in the background. It's a subtext. So, but now it's no longer, which is one of the big shifts. That also is present in the book. But in the book, all the assumptions and all the subtext are in the forefront, you know, because I was writing it. You know, I have 94,000 words to say whatever I want to say. I'm going to say it all.
You did that, because 94,000, that's
too many.
You did that.
It's too many.
Too many. It's decent. It's giving. It's
so good. Tired of myself.
So when you talk about, I mean, there's so many perspectives of like, or like so many components of death, and like, what can it look like, and who has access to this, and what is a good death, and like, blah, 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 like all that. But you said this particular word, justice, and I would love for you to kind of just speak more about that. Like, what do you mean when you're saying justice and death?
Well, let's begin with how we honor folks in their dying. A lot of people, I think, believe of death as the great equalizer. You know, the thing that comes and no matter who you are, rich, poor, Jesus. Well, that's not a good one because they say he came back. But maybe Muhammad, no matter who you are going to meet death at some point and you're not going to come back from it. And in that case, it does equal us all because we all die. But how we die, what we die from, and how we live leading up to our death is vastly different. Death is a culturally constructed process based on unequal social power dynamics, and we can't undermine that. When I show up at the bedside of somebody who's dying, as they die, all parts of themselves are dying, all the intersections are dying, all their identities are dying. I'm honoring all of them in their death, all the ones that they choose to honor and identify. I'm doing the same. Now I can look at the whole person for who they've become, a result of their traumas and their upbringing, their family of origin, race, class, all those things. We're honoring every single last bit of it in their death, which means that I have to honor those. Now, if I can honor those at death, if I could do the same thing while somebody's living, then that's the way in which I think that this world we can be more gentle.
That makes so much sense to me. Yeah. Like, it makes so much sense. And it made me think about, right, like this, of course, like a lot of work that I do is around birth work, like being in that phase of birth. And for many people, it's the very joyous occasion, right? For like a baby to be born and brought into the world and like, you know, whoop-de-woo, right? Like the baby that's crying in the background now. But specifically when we're talking about Black folks, we talk about them dying in that process more than other races, right? And it's like, there's something about, and it also kind of pushed me to really get into Gone with Grace too, is like, because I speak about the subject so more and because I hold space for the subject in my personal and professional life, right? It kind of felt like, not that I was being forced to like create this better relationship, but when I say forced, meaning like, because of these inequities, because of this injustice, because of this unfairness around discrimination and racism being in healthcare systems, I therefore have to do the work of kind of like becoming knowledgeable about death in a way that other communities don't have to.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, it's not that there's a problem with death. I mean, death happens. Like, we know that, but it doesn't have to happen here.
The way that it's happening here.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It doesn't have to happen the way that it is in this space.
And so unfairly happening in this space.
Exactly. And I shouldn't have to have, like, when people ask me about, like, you know, working with birth doula clients, it's like, well, there is an extra conversation that I have to have with Black parents.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm having a general conversation of like, you know, with anyone, like, you never know what can happen. You know, you never blah, blah, blah. You want to plan for whatever, you know, whatever. But I'm like, no, statistically.
Yeah. Like, you're in danger, girl.
You're in danger of dying. And there's nothing that you are doing that is wrong. Right. Which makes me kind of angry. But it's like in the role of being a birth doula, especially in hospital spaces, is like you are, especially when you're working with Black parents, you're literally thinking like, my information could save a life.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have that kind of pressure, right? Or like me not noticing something, not that it's my fault, right, but that could be like why someone passes away because they weren't informed. And it was things like, you know, it's such a weight to hold.
Mm-hmm.
but it's the reality. So I just think about like that, like what you're saying around like, yeah, like death happens, but what was the treatment before?
Right.
And then after, like when a person dies, right? And not every Black person that has died because of, you know, discrimination and bullshit. But like, then you start seeing these headlines, right? Like,
right,
Black mother dies and this, whatever. And I'm like, and now people want to kind of honor that person and they want to like do all these things and they want to, you know, contribute in these ways and they want to like whatever. And I'm like, why didn't you do this before? If you knew the statistics, why weren't you doing this work before to help this outcome not be?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
100%. I think about that often too, you know, when I show up at the bedside of somebody who's in their mid-60s with diabetes and hypertension and all the diseases of a Black person, you know what I mean? All the diseases. And we're walking them gently toward the end. Then I think about how many times prior to that where they've engaged with healthcare systems where it wasn't gentle, where they were not believed or blamed or just told to lose weight or whatever the case may be, where it wasn't gentle at all, where who that person was, where that person had come from, what their history was, wasn't taken into account in order to care for them adequately, which is why oftentimes I believe that it's my job and they're dying in order to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to honor the person, the unique lived experience of that individual and the totality of their humanhood, because we don't get that.
And sometimes that's the only moment that they are getting that, like ever, like in life. Like
truly.
That part, I don't know if it like upsets me in a sad way or upsets me like in an angry, I don't know, but we don't have to wait until someone's in that space to honor them.
Right.
And also I can only imagine the experience of a person who hasn't been honored. And that also makes me think of like when we talk about assisted death or, you know, like we were like, why would someone want to go? It's like, well, goddamn, if you're living in this world, no one's respecting your experience. No one is making, you know, no one's honoring you. No one's pouring into you. None, you know, there's these difficulties all around. Like maybe that is the way to go in a sense of like being honored and being empowered. You know what I mean? To like be yourself fully and to just go wherever you go. Like, I know I have so many thoughts about this, but I would love to also just kind of hear your thoughts around, if you want to share, like voluntary death.
Yeah. Medical aid in dying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord have mercy. I strongly believe in the individual's right to self-determine across the board, you know, leading up to how they die, when and how they die. I believe in the individual's self-determine about how we express ourselves, how we express our gender, how we across everything, no matter. You do you, boo. Do you, boo. It doesn't impact me at none whatsoever. In fact, it only brings me joy to see you living in your absolute truth. And that also extends into how we die. It breaks my heart that somebody would have to continue living with the disease where they know that the prognosis is going to lead to more pain and suffering if they have the right and the opportunity to choose out of that early. I don't know that I would choose it for myself, yet never, ever, ever will I say somebody else shouldn't do it, you know?
I think everybody should have the option to do whatever the fuck they please.
Do you?
I'm like, I don't know what I would do in a situation. Maybe, maybe not, but I want to have the option.
I want the option. I want the right to choose for myself what's happening with my body.
Yes, I want the option. So one of the things, okay, so I'll tell you one of my like things that I want to do in my life. It's like it's on my goal list and I've been putting it out there more. But one of the things for sure is like, I want to buy some land because I'm like, Black people need land. We need land for many reasons. We just need land. I want some chickens.
Okay.
I have 2 dogs already. I don't know about other animals. I don't know if I can maintain. I'm not, I'm really a city girl, but like, you know, trying to get back to nature. Even when I'm like in the woods escaping from my like writing retreats, I'm scared of the bugs, but I'm getting more comfortable because I'm trying to be at one with nature and shit.
Yes.
But one of the things I want on that land is like, of course, my home and a home of my community members. But I also want like a place where people can come to like birth, you know, midwives and whoever they ever got going, whatever. Also a place for people who are, you know, getting care from like if they have like an abortion or whatever, you know, that kind of space. And I also want a place for people to die in that space. And, you know, I don't know, you know, something pops up in your head, but it just like all makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I'm like, if I could just like be the person that is like literally have the literal space.
Okay.
Especially like Black people. Mm-hmm. I just want to like support us in moving into whatever that next space may be.
Yeah.
In a way that is just like so fully supported and like so beautiful. And yeah, that's like one of my dreams, right? That I'm working on. I'm literally right now like looking at land. But I also ask that to be like, what is, and I'm sure you have a big vision, but like, what is your vision for death? And I mean, that can be like in the ways that like society handles death. It could be in the ways of like your personal relationship. It could be in going with grace, but you know, whatever like comes up for you and what that future looks like.
It certainly looks like everybody living in relationship with their death consistently in such a way that we're using death as a barometer to try to figure out the type of lives that we want to lead. And that we're constantly using it as a measure of how we're doing along the way. Like if this were it, if today was it, if I don't get to see tomorrow, what have I done thus far in my pleas? And I'm looking back on my life overall. And I use that test like quite frequently for myself. And if not, if I don't feel like a yes, then there's something that I need to shift in my life and how I'm carrying out my day to day, because since tomorrow might be it, then what do I got to do today? You know, I'd love a life. I'd love a world where we're all living in relationship with death. I love a world where we're talking openly about it. Love a world where we don't fear disclosing grief and sadness and pain and struggle. I love a world where we can just talk openly about how challenging it is to be human, because this shit is hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's beautiful, and it can also be really hard, really hard. And I feel like when we're living authentically with death, the hardness of life isn't something that we have to like gloss over. You know what I mean? Like, we can honor it for what it is and then also see the beauty in getting to live it at the same time. So that's the type of future that I'd love to see as we die. I'd also, or as the future, as we die for sure, but also like as the future moves toward a community, a world in which death and dying is honored to center. Yeah, I want a death-centered life, a death-centered world. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, my entire life is leading up to it.
Literally.
Actually. That's what my whole life is about, the moment that I die.
Yeah, you're like, I don't know my autobiography. I don't know what's going to be from year this to year that, what's going to happen. But I do know what's going to happen at the end.
I know how, I know that there's a full stop. We all know how it ends. I die.
You know what? Oh my gosh. So I am getting to my personality, but I'm definitely an avoidant attachment type person.
Same, boo.
Oh, it's a hard, it's a hard. Mm-hmm. It's a hard life. It's not hard in the sense of, how do I make sense of this? And I know people are kind of usually come from the other side where they're like, it's easy for me to love and it's easy for me, but like, it's easy for me to be by myself. Like it feels solid. I know what's going on and it feels like I have a level of control, right? Being in relationship with other people can be harder because I'm like, now I have to think about you. You know, it gets a little bit more complicated. But one thing that's happened over the last year and a half, and I would say it's because of the death that I experienced, was that moment of like looking back and being like, like if I was to die tomorrow, would I be satisfied with what's happened? And I think there's like a lot of satisfaction on the career side, because usually avoidant attachment people tend to do well in career stuff. We're like, okay, I got to do this. I got to do that. I know how to do this. This is my achievement. It's very like a structure. And even if it's hard, it's okay. Like I'm okay with hard things because I can, there's still some level of control there anyway. But I like look back and I was like, I have to work on this relationship shit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to work on this vulnerability thing. I got to work on that. Like, I have to work on that because when I go, I want to look back and be like, yeah, I accomplished these things, right? Because those things are important to me, right? But I also want to be like, I accomplished these things in relation to people
right.
that I cherish. Because if they die tomorrow, I want to feel like we had a good time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
So it's like, it's that like when you think about it in that like death centered way, it really kills the noise, no pun intended, but like it really kills the noise of like the shit that doesn't matter.
Yeah, truly. It brings things into very sharp focus. And I'm happy to hear that you are taking the invitation to look at what isn't working and what actually matters, you know, because that's what death can do for us if we are choosing to let it. And also at the end of life, people are really concerned with their relationships a lot. You know what I mean? Like they're really concerned with who they loved, how they loved, all that stuff. So if we could think about how we're doing that now, think about our deathbed self, who's around, who's there, who isn't there. Why are they not there? Who do I want there that should be there? They ain't there because something I did.
Okay. Also being that like aware of like, I'm not perfect. Where do I need to mend and heal and apologize?
Yeah.
For the ways I've conducted myself in this life.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot.
One last question for you is like, when you talk about your deathbed, I guess like, I'm sure you have like some process of like thinking about who you want to be there. But I guess like, is there any like one like physical thing that you want to be there?
A thing?
Yeah. Like, is it like a plant or?
It's outside. I want to be outside. Yeah. I want to be outside. I love outside.
You're not scared of bugs?
No, I'm not really scared of bugs. I'm not super scared of creatures. I love wind and sun and trees and sky. So I want to feel all that for the last time. Yeah. I mean, if they could get me in like, no, I don't want a screen in porch. I want to be on a deck, but I want to be high up. But if we're high up enough, there won't be too many bugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you talking about like mountain high up or like beach side? Like
I want to look out and be able to see a bunch of trees. Yeah. And sky and like birds flying. Yeah.
This is fun. I see in our future, we'll have good conversation.
For sure. For sure.
This is how I talk to my friends and they're like, what are you, why are we here today?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not having any mental health issues. I'm just thinking about, you know, like when people start like taking it to the left, I'm good.
Like, I'm good.
This is me in a good space.
Right. The other day, my lover was like, He said, so close your eyes. And I did. He said, what do you see when you close your eyes? So I tried to describe it. So we spent like 7 minutes describing what it looks like when we close our eyes. But then he was like, do you think it's going to look like that when you die? And I was like, well, that's a great question. So then we just dived into that for a while. I said, bless your heart. Not everybody can hold me here. I'm just so grateful.
So great. Well, yeah. Well, thank him, because I know that that can be a great support to you and in that conversation, because yeah. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You are loved and blessed. And I'm always sharing Going With Grace.
Thank you.
With our doulas too. Cause I'm like, we don't have to do the, we don't know everything. Someone who knows way more. So here you go. Going With Grace. Yes. That's where I would go.
Thank you so much for that.
Of course. And of course, if there's any other things or whatever, just that we can share, let me know. But
okay. Well, I have some ideas moving forward. I'm interested in doing something on birth and death, and getting mm-hmm. some birth workers together and talking about the intersections, the differences, the similarities, philosophies, all those things. But
I'm down.
Okay, great. I'll chat with you about it.
Hello. That's my shit. Well, yeah, how do people reach you? How do you reach your work? What should they know?
Great. Always find me on the internet. If you Google Going With Grace or on Instagram, Going_with_Grace, because if you just put in regular Going With Grace, it's a yellow lab someplace in Kentucky. That's not me. So you gotta put the underscores in there. Yeah, on the internet, it's a very easy way to find us.
For sure. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.